produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Sundays. The reason why we have church on Sundays, even those who don't even understand resurrection, worship on Sunday. The reason is because Sunday was the day Jesus resurrected. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact that cannot be disputed. Hallelujah. It is a fact that is irrefutable. People have tried to dispute or refute the resurrection. Now, let me say this. Other religions agree that Jesus died. Hello?
Amen.
Other religions, they don't have a problem. It's even in their Quran. Yeah? That's a fact that he died. But resurrection was the game changer. Hallelujah. Because other gods died now. You can say, other gods, they all died like Jesus died. So they agree that he died. There are people that have come and they say they are God, they are this. They died. The God of Buddha, the God of Hare Krishna, the God of whatever it is, they died. There was a man years back in Nigeria. If you Google, you can see. He said he was another Christ, the Messiah. And he has a long hair, he would wear white. People would be following him. And he said he was Jesus of Oyimbo. He was doing miracles. And people was like, wow, this man was another Jesus. He had a lot of following. But one day, before he died, by the way, he said he's going to rise again. He said, I'm going to rise again like Jesus rose. Hallelujah. When he died, his disciples were, followers were waiting to see him to rise again. Nothing happened. They came, nothing happened. That's a story I heard. A person in this country, maybe you've heard, saw it on the news, a person who died, he says, he's a man of God. And he had told his family and people that if he died, nobody must bury him, that he will come back. And they believed him. In fact, the whole congregation, all his followers believed him. You can go and Google as well. Yeah. Verify. Here, I think Johannesburg. And I was shocked to remember that, to read that this man died months. The wife said, don't touch him. He's still going to come back. They'll come. I'm thinking, even Jesus only stayed 3 days. Yeah. This one. And finally, the family sneaked from back. They're tired. He went and took the body and buried him. Hallelujah. Amen. Kings come and go. Amen. Great emperors come and go. Even Pharaoh was swallowed up in the Red Sea. Nebuchadnezzar came and went. But only Jesus Christ of Nazareth resurrected. Hallelujah. He resurrected. But now, let me tell you one thing again. He did not resurrect as a spirit.
No.
You know, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. People are running. Oh, go. You know, when people see anything that looks like ghosts, they're running. He resurrected bodily.
Yes.
The same way he was pierced. He resurrected with the pierced hands. He resurrected with the same bodily form of a new generation. The same body that we are going to have, by the way, in the last day. We're going to have that eternal body, resurrected body, never to die again. That is why we will still recognize each other. The same way Jesus resurrected and they recognize him. In heaven, we are going to recognize each other. The Bible says, mortality will put on immortality. When Jesus resurrected, he died a mortal man, but he resurrected immortal, meaning never to die. The Bible says he was the first fruit of resurrection, meaning there is going to be others, us, who are going to also have the same body like him. They saw him face to face. Resurrection is the reason why we are here. Without the resurrection, there will be no Christianity. Hello? Because people will make mockery of our faith. They will say, he said he's going to rise. What happened? You know, people are going to say God is a liar. Can God lie? Hallelujah. You know, God has proven beyond doubt that he is faithful to his promise. When he died, he came back as he promised. And he is coming back again. We call it the second coming. He's coming back again to, the Bible call it the time where those who are living are going to be caught up with him. And all eyes will see him. Even those that reject him will see him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this morning he is here. I say he is here. You don't look like you meant it. I say he's here. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. You say how? He's here through the Holy Spirit. Because theologically, he is seated at the right hand of God. But he says, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. He says, where two or three are gathered, I am there in your midst. So he is here. Remember, he's a promise keeper. I said he is here this morning. Hallelujah. So he said, I am bringing another person because it is three in one. You can't separate them. So the Holy Spirit had to come as his representation. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole Gospels spoke about the death of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole Gospel spoke about his resurrection. It was an important, very important theme. You know, I'm not reading scripture because I don't know where to start. Because we can stay here the whole day. If you want to read the scripture on resurrection. But I'm going to show you two scriptures and we're going to take it from there. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Say, He is risen.
He is risen.
Let's turn to the book of Mark. Let's begin with Matthew. Let's start from Matthew. St. Matthew, the gospel according to St. Matthew. Before we read Matthew, the question is, who is Matthew? Hallelujah. When you read what somebody has written or the report somebody has made, you have to examine that report and examine the person to see whether the person is credible. Are you with me this morning? If police comes in a scene where there is an incident, maybe there is a robbery or something happened, what police would normally do is they will look for eyewitness. They will look for those who were there, and they will get information from the eyewitness. We call it eyewitness account. And they're going to depend on the eyewitness account, which is admissible in court. That means that it is reliable evidence. So Matthew was an eyewitness. Someone say eyewitness. He saw. He was not writing a story somebody told him. He was there. Mark was there. Luke was there. John, the beloved, was there. And then Matthew chapter 28. Let us read first hand account in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to draw, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake." Somebody say earthquake. This God is powerful. Hallelujah. I will tell you why there is an earthquake. Why there was an earthquake. "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away from the door." This morning I've got good news for you. The stones have been rolled away. The stones of limitation. The stones of mockery. The stones of pain and shame. The stones of stagnation, the stones of oppression has been rolled away. The angel came and rolled it away, and he sat on it. I want to see that angel. He just, you know what he did? He came to exercise the power of God. When he rolled away the stone, he sat on it. I would imagine he crossed his feet and probably drinking some juice. Hallelujah. I wish I was that angel. Because today is the day of goodness. It is finished. The job is done. The deal is done. Man has been saved. Salvation has come to mankind. The angel was happy. He was in a happy mood. Sat on the stone. You know, that sitting is a sign of job well done. He sat on the stone. And let's read further. And it says that his countenance was like lightning. Can you see? He was happy. And his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear. And became like their dead men. I pray that your enemies will shake. For what God will do in your life. They will fear and tremble. They will fear and tremble for what God will do in your life. And finally, the angel answered and said to the women, who are those women? There were three Marys: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Zebedee. There was another Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus. Oh, I love these women. I can preach about these women over and over and over. Hallelujah. These women were fearless. These women were bold and brave. They rather die for their Savior. They love Jesus unto death. Hallelujah. You know, when a woman loves, even if you put a knife in, they kill me. Have you seen the way a woman is fighting for their child? A man can stay far away and be looking for a gun. The woman with bare hand will jump on top of that fire. While the man will go and be looking, let me look for a gun to come and fight this battle. The woman will not even hesitate, jump into the fire. Hallelujah. This was what these women did. Now watch this. So, let's wrap up the crucifixion. Now Jesus was dead. He was certified dead. There were some agnostics, that is those who tried to disprove the Bible. They said that Jesus did not die, that it was one of the disciples they hung on the cross. You know, the world have tried to water down this gospel, but each time they try, they fail. Because truth always prevails. Yes. Hallelujah. This gospel has stood the test of time, from age to age, from generation to generation. This gospel of the Lord has never changed. This gospel still heals. This gospel still saves. This gospel still delivers. Hallelujah. Don't look at me like that. You are a witness. You are here because of this gospel. Hallelujah. This gospel saved my life. Don't tell me story. There is power in this gospel. It is not a joke. So now Jesus was dead. And the Bible said they pierced him. Because they wanted to make sure he was dead. So that cancels the notion that he did not even die. They pierced him. Oh Jesus. But it's a piercing. That was the pattern of the church. They pierced him. And the Bible says blood and water came. The blood speaks of his blood that gave birth to a new generation. And the water speaks of the washing of the word. Hallelujah. They pierced him. Everything they were doing were prophetic. They did not know. The Bible says by his wounds we were healed. The wounds upon him was for the healing of nations. Hallelujah. And after that, a man called Joseph of Arimathea, he came. This man was very wealthy, very rich. Jesus was not buried on a cheap tomb. A very glamorous tomb. I saw a picture the other day of the actual tomb, because if you go to Israel, the actual site is still there. It's not like we have today the graveyard. This was a magnificent tomb that has an entrance. You enter and then you see the tomb. I saw it. It was so beautiful. You know? Beautiful. And then, by the entrance, they rolled a heavy rock, because that tomb was descended on a hill. So they rolled a heavy rock to make sure they block the door. No coming in, no going out, no coming in. No going in, no coming out. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. You see, the devil still does the same thing today. Yeah. And I pray that any blockade in your life, today it is over in the name of Jesus. And they rolled the stone and blocked the place, and they put a Roman seal. At the time, the Romans were the highest superpower, the highest authority. A Roman seal, nobody can remove it. It's subject to death. So they put a Roman seal there, meaning nobody dare come and remove this. And then the Jews, because they heard that he said he's going to come back, they said, please, we need some guards there. Yeah. So that if he comes back, we just slap, even if he's a ghost, you slap him back. So soldiers, imagine, they don't want the ghost, the spirit, or whatever. They don't want any shenanigan. They put very powerful Roman guards. Well armed by the entrance. They also thought that the disciples were going to come and steal his body. So they don't want any story. Now, the first day, nothing happened. The second day, nothing happened. It was Sabbath. And that day, the women could not go to anoint his body. But on the third day, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know, you know, this is so true about our lives. You know, there are some times nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. It's like the promise of God is not going to, you wonder, you know, what is happening? Is it going to come to pass? But your third day is coming. Your visitation is coming. The resurrection power is coming. Hallelujah. On the third day, these vibrant, beautiful, magnificent women, fearless, bold, they come again. Because they are not giving up on their master. They come again to anoint early Sunday morning. And then they were surprised. Where has they taken his body? He was not there. And this woman, Mary, was weeping, was crying. And then the angel came and said, he is risen. He is not here. He is not here. Just like he said. Hallelujah. Just like he said. Has God ever said anything to you? He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. He'll fulfill it. He'll fulfill it. Just like he said. Hallelujah. So resurrection is the central theme of Christianity. Because Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give you the scripture, that without the resurrection of Jesus, our faith would have been in vain. Alright? Without the resurrection of Jesus, our message, our preaching would have been in vain. Because people are going to say, He's dead. He's dead. Your God is dead. Hallelujah. But today, we are so glad to announce that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to give you, because of time, some irrefutable facts about this resurrection and why it is very important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You can write down this text. You can read it. John chapter 20 from verse 1 to 2. And you can also write Mark. I did mention it, but we're not going to read that. Mark chapter 16 verse 1 and also verse 9. Yes. But some of the facts that you need to take note of about resurrection is that resurrection was a reality. When Jesus resurrected, he stayed for more 40 days. 40 days. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 40 days was enough for people to believe. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when Jesus died, the disciples were nowhere to be found. You know, when days are dark, that is when you know who are your friends. When things are moving nice in your life, in fact, even those who are not your friend will tag along. They will become your friend. Hallelujah. But when days were dark, the disciples went into hiding. They were afraid. They were human. They were ordinary men. They were confused. They did not believe that this great man that they saw healed the blind man, raise the dead, could be humiliated like that. That was why Peter drew his sword. He thought, this battle, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to fight and defend my God. But Jesus said, put back your sword. This battle is not physical. Hallelujah. We are not engaged in physical battle. Praise the Lord. And then, when Jesus rose again, he appeared to them. Why did he appear to them? He's a God of restoration. He's a God of restoration. He came to restore them. He came to seek and save the lost. He came so that his investment will not be in vain. Because the disciples were the men and women that are going to take the gospel, this gospel of salvation, this gospel of resurrection to the world. And now they are hiding. Come on, hallelujah. And Jesus went to them. And when he came there, the Bible said he knocked. Hallelujah. He came in. In fact, he came in there and he had meal with them. Does a ghost eat?
No.
Oh, maybe I've seen one. I'm kidding. But anyway, Jesus had to sit there, and but when he came, Thomas was not there. There's always a Thomas in us. But I pray that everything that represented Thomas in you be made whole. Receive the faith. Receive assurance. Receive conviction. Hallelujah. And then he waited for Thomas because he loves us. He's a patient God. He'll meet you where you are. There are some of you that are on mountaintop, but there are those that are on the valley. He'll still meet you there. So he waited for Thomas, and he had to bear Thomas' weakness and say, "Touch my hand. Put your finger. It is I. It is I." Hallelujah. And Thomas was convinced. All of them were now convinced. Hallelujah. The women were convinced, and the disciples were convinced. But I want to show you something, because when Jesus resurrected, the Bible tells us that he appeared to the 120 people. He appeared to over 500 people. In fact, he was walking around the street of Jerusalem so that people can see the risen Savior, the risen Messiah. Hallelujah. And now, there is an argument that Jesus did not resurrect. But for you as a Christian, you must have evidence. Evidence, because it shouldn't be like tales and fables that, oh, they said he resurrected. Was that real? So Jesus, through the scripture, proved to us that he truly resurrected. Hallelujah. He is risen. So when we look at the event that took place after his resurrection, something must have happened that proved beyond reasonable doubt to the disciples that this indeed was the Messiah. And in Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, he says that God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every other name. So when Jesus resurrected, he resurrected, but he had not gone to heaven. Something happened in between. Oh, I'm not going to go into that into detail. But we know that when he resurrected, he went to heaven first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said to Mary, "Don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." I want to teach you something there. Remember 40 days. So he first ascended to the Father. To do what? With his blood. He has to go and present the blood, because now he is the high priest. The great high priest. So after resurrection, Jesus now assumed the office of our great high priest, who makes intercession for us. But now the high priest office has shifted from here to the throne of grace. So he took his blood and presented like the high priest would do to the Father. And the Father accepted. That was the only acceptable sacrifice from generation to generation. The Father, his own blood, the Father accepted. That is when now he was given the seat to sit down. You don't sit down when the job is not done. That's why he was seated. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, he said to my beloved, "Sit at my right hand." He was talking about Jesus when he resurrected. So, but after that, he now came back, because he needed to deal with all the doubt and unbelief and the fear that was in the mind of the disciples. He needed to deal with the mindset of the people. He needed to deal with everything that will hinder the course of the gospel. He came back. And that was when he now began to appear to people. They cannot touch him. Alright? They cannot eat with him. He cannot interact with them, because he had to go to the Father first to complete the mission, sealed with his blood. Hallelujah. And let me add this to you. When he died, between the first day and the day he resurrected, what did you think that was happening? Jesus was not doing nothing. He was not just there. Battle was going on. The Bible says he went to grave. He went to hell to take back the keys, to take back our healing, to take back our salvation, to take back our destiny. He went to hell to recover what the enemy stole. And even the saints that were bound by the enemy. He went to break the chain of hell over us. The power of grave and death. That is why when Jesus conquered death, he had to conquer hell and death. He conquered. That was why you saw people that were there that was walking. You know, I wish I was one of them walking. That's me. That's me. That's me. Walking. You know, the subject of the death and resurrection of Jesus is so spectacular. That's why many people don't believe it. They say, you guys are, hallelujah. But this God is great. This God is mighty. This God is awesome. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to end with this. The blessings of resurrection. So, when he appeared to the disciples, he said to them, you shall receive power.
Amen.
Get ready.
Amen.
I am going to the Father, but you, the same things that I did, you are going to do it. You are going to have resurrection power to preach the gospel. It was in the same time, Mark chapter 16, if you read verse 19, he said to them, go ye into all the world. He was speaking to people who were so timid and fearful. Hiding. He said to them, you will go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick. And he says, and these signs shall follow you. Even when you drink poison or match snake and stop you, it will not help you. Hallelujah. Miracle signs shall follow you. So, but when you read the account of the disciples, when you get the book of Mark, I mean Acts, you find that these disciples were radically transformed. What gave them boldness? What made Stephen to say, I'm ready to die? Is because they saw resurrection. They saw Jesus resurrected. They were convinced and they came out boldly. Even in Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified, they came there. You know their message? The Bible said their message was the message of resurrection.
Amen.
They were preaching about what they saw, about what they touched, about what they know. They were preaching with conviction. Let me tell you, when you have encountered Jesus with conviction, it will change your life.
Amen.
It will change how you speak. It will change how you serve God. It will change how you worship. Hallelujah. Today, many people are worshiping without conviction. They are worshiping haphazardly. You know, this God, let's check, you know, if whether, no. They came out in one day. Peter, that never preached before, preached, and thousands were converted. Thousands in one day. The same Peter, he was walking to the to the temple. He saw the lame man. He turned. He used to pass there every other day. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he knew that Jesus has risen. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. He said, rise up. And the man rose up. He was not even moved. He said, you haven't seen anything. And then he was walking. He shadowed. But because they know that this gospel of resurrection is real. They were not afraid. He was thrown in jail. He said, do your worst. I will still preach. My master, the one who loved me and died for me. You need to have this conviction, this assurance of the God that you serve. Don't serve God as if you don't have conviction. You must know beyond any reasonable doubt that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He did not die in vain. He He did not die so that we can become victims. He died that we can become victors. He did not die so that sickness can defeat us. He died that we can conquer sickness and disease. Hallelujah. He died so that we can live a glorious life. And we saw that in the life of the disciples. He preached the gospel to all nations, talking about Jesus. And one man called Saul. Saul was an enemy. He persecuted Jesus, the church. He never knew who Jesus was.
Have your way in this place. I'm a man, can't stand alone. I need you to complete me. If not for God, I can't breathe.
Paget on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.